Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. I am Tower, here with the Watchman, and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence for the WIBR Warn Radio Network to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. And you can find the WIBR Warn Radio on usa.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, LinkedIn, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. You can also find the Warn Radio on the following streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. And be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the shows where you heard us, because your interaction really helps, and we thank you for that. Don't miss the following posts on warn-usa.com or danaglensmith.com. Time, Seasons, God's Secrets breaks into the world of technology and humanism. It brings an ancient secret of who's really in power. And don't miss this. World leaders dig heads into sand. It is as if the world leaders have dug their heads into the sand and ignore the danger signs. There is today more threats in the world than ever before. And don't miss When the Grinder Shall Cease. That points to a day when this generation will find its path of vanity over. And you don't want to miss The Difference a Day Makes: God, Time, and Man, along with the propensity of carelessness and thinking we have time. Time to burn, time to repent, and time to do what we like. And you don't want to miss Persecuted Christians: No Freedom of Religion. I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. In John chapter 18, we find in verse 18, the phrase, "If the world hates you." And last but not least, you don't want to miss Reprobate: The Nation Whose God Is Not the Lord. The nation is not alone, for it includes all nations as we know them. We find a people who have rejected the Word, His Son, and a world that is in rebellion against Him. And be sure to go to danaglensmith.com, where you can sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter. And also, you can visit our Christian Books and Resource Shop. We feature Christian books and other resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglensmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. Here we are again. Another week. Another broadcast. We're over in Pakistan. We get in Pakistan a lot in these shows. And, you know, this next story comes out of Barnabas Fund. And they were the ones that were raising money for a Sia Beebe's house.
Have you heard anything about how that's going?
Well, no, not really. You'd got to get over there. They, you know, they didn't have a tracker over there. None of them do. They have so many projects like Samaritan's Purse,
yes.
You know, you give to it and it goes from there. So it is going to go to that. I got an email from one of the head dudes over there that I'd contacted, and they made sure, you know, what we gave was going to go to help her. So at any rate, this next one comes out of Pakistan. And when you think of Sia Beebe, you know very well all the problems that are in Pakistan. Now this one comes out of a region of Punjab, Pakistan. And you have a few Christians. And there was one. Well, at any rate, they ended up being terrorized by 200 Muslims, a mob. That's usually the way it works. Sometimes it's a lot less than that, but the Christians are always outnumbered. And like all of the situations, it was reported to the police, and the case has been registered against the 66 Muslims who apparently broke into this guy's house. But local church leaders, both the Christian church and the Muslims, have been trying to work together to restore peace to the area. And, you know, this is one of those situations that is just, you know, it seems like, especially in Pakistan, it doesn't seem like they even have the ability to get along very long. Because they're always fighting. So, and that isn't good. Well, it began on the 14th of May. When you have the main guy accused, Mangata, I don't even like pronouncing these names. These are all made up names because we can't tell you the real name. There was three of them, and they were cleaning the entrance to the church. Well, a Muslim man came along, and of course, they were trying to kill him with the dust. So he got all upset and went and brought five other men of trying to kill him. I'm making this into a ridiculous incident. See, the incident is real. But to go by someone sweeping and accusing them to throw dust on you, and then getting five other people and going back the next day, you return with weapons and you attack people. This is stupid. This is ridiculous. And it should not be going on in Pakistan, India, or anywhere else. But that is how weak-kneed justice is in these areas. But see, the authorities did come after them. But see, these Muslims, they get in these mosques apparently and get all worked up and going to kill every Christian, going to find a way to cause trouble. Well, that wasn't the end of it. Well, the three men who were accused, they ended up getting hurt because the other guys, one of them brought a sickle blade with him, and the main guy lost his thumb trying to protect himself. Now that would have hurt.
Oh, that's horrible.
And so at any rate, the following day, they brought 200 with them because they got them all worked up. And so they assaulted the Christians, they assaulted the girls, they assaulted, and these are young girls, and they assaulted the wives, and They were armed with glass bottles, stones, axes, batons, bricks. And they used stairs to climb to the roofs and started breaking our furniture.
Just nonsense. Just over.
Dust.
Yeah, which was a lie, I'm sure. Or maybe they might have accidentally swept dust towards him because they didn't see him there.
Well, a local church member in the area said that, a minister rather, said the weakness on the part of the administration encourages attacks on the religious minorities. And it does. And we've seen improvement in Pakistan. But you still have, you know, many, many years, decade upon decade upon decade of traditions where this comes into play. And so we're talking about Pakistan here. This is typical over there. It's typical in India as well. So you need to pray for the believers in Pakistan. And I wish I could tell you that everything's going to work out fine, that everything's going to be fine. But in the end, prophecy doesn't point to that except to the fact that the Lord is coming and we will be in His kingdom. But we also know that a lot of the enemies of the Lord who do such things like this, and even worse, are actually coming to the Lord. And we see more and more evidence of that. Now another place, Tower, and you would agree, and that is Nigeria. We've been having a lot of problems in Nigeria.
Seems to me one of the worst places for Christian persecution.
Well, you know, I think it's becoming that. I think all of Africa is, because it's not just Nigeria. And you can state that it is Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, the Fulani herdsmen is the main ones, along with Boko Haram here. There is an ISIS group there. But the radical Islam is where this is. But now this is a record of killing 14 Christians in a particular area of Nigeria done by the Fulani. And they, Morningstar News is the one that brought this and said 14 Christians were butchered to death, including children. 8 members of one family have all been killed. This is beside an additional 6 other Christians killed by the herdsmen in the village. Now this is typical. It started out attacking Christians who were farmers in some of these areas, and they had land. And the Fulani are herdsmen, and when we began reporting on this, some of the news that came out is that Boko Haram had taught the Fulani what they needed to do. Meanwhile, we've also had other reports of the Fulani that not all Fulani are like this, but some of them are radicalized like this. And so this is what they do. They'll go in and they will kill everybody there and then take over their land and do their herds there. You see, Africa has been mainly village pockets, you know, tribes, very, very tribal. India has some very, very intense tribal areas too, built on tradition. And so these are really, really hard. And one person said he was by the village where all the shops were and the markets, which would be where you would go if you want to buy something for dinner. Most of them have some kind of market, open-air market, where you go every day to get food. You buy it there because there's no refrigeration there. You go and you buy what you can use. You know, my thought here is how spoiled we are.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine living without that?
Oh, I know. It'd be difficult.
Now, this reminds me of a boss I once had who came directly from France. It was a French bakery, and
I did all the scratch French pastries there. And he flat out told me, he says, we don't have refrigeration in France. He says, I didn't have refrigeration. Didn't even use it. Now, we got in, well, at any rate, I won't go into details how I knew that, but something came up that I told him, we have refrigeration here, you shouldn't be doing that, especially with the health department. But at any rate, so not everybody has refrigeration. I thought everybody in France had refrigeration until I met him. He was just off the boat. But, you know, here you go here, you know. And so he heard all the shooting going on, and many of them, of course, they all run into the bush. And this guy, and he said that there was a guy who he knew, he was shot dead, and his corpse was lying by his house. And the attackers was retreating, shouting Allah Akbar. And they are communicating with themselves in the Fulani language. And one mother was killed alongside her two daughters.
That's tragic. That is so sad.
You know, I can't even imagine that. You know, and there's so much difference here. And this is the thing. I wrote an article. And one of the scriptures I use was one the Lord brought to my attention some time ago. You kill the just and he does not resist you. The minute I had seen that, and I had read it before, but this time it really popped out, and I wrote an article on it, on persecution. And, you know, Tower, I can't even imagine this.
Oh, I know.
Because if I was here in my yard, and a group of Fulani came in, killing everybody in sight, I would grab a gun, and I would shoot as many of the yahoos as I could. Not out of anger, out of defense. That's not blood guilt. That's protecting your life. These people are trying to take lives. And there's even provision in the Old Testament when you talk about blood guilt, that if someone comes to kill you, and in the struggle trying to keep him from doing that, the other guy gets killed, you are not guilty of his blood. It's his own guilt because he started it.
You know, these back to these this woman that was killed alongside her two daughters. They named their last name was Matthew, and they named their one daughter Gospel Matthew and the other one Praise God Matthew. That's funny.
Well, I love the way these native believers name their churches and their kids.
Yes.
Because make no mistake, you know, the Church of the Loving God. And that's a group of people we know.
Yeah.
The Assembly of the Loving God. And they're a line of churches from Africa to Asia. But
What's really tragic about this story? They, because they killed him, they leave behind her husband who's blind. Now who's going to care for him? She probably really takes care of him and cooks for him and, you know, helps him along. How's he going to do this for himself? He's probably doesn't have any training on how to take care of himself with a handicap of no sight, you know? It's very disturbing. It's tragic.
One of the pastors told Morningstar News, throughout the night I couldn't sleep because members I ministered to were killed in a gruesome manner and for not committing any crimes except being a Christian. Now this is what we see throughout the globe today.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in America or the UK or the EU or Australia or any number of other places where this doesn't happen, you know, you have to thank God. And it behooves, especially if you're living in America, folks, if you're not paying attention to the persecuted church, you need to start paying attention. And you need to also pray for them and find it in your budget to give to a ministry with boots on the ground over there. One, people that get involved in this that can help it. And I call this full gospel ministry. And, you know, it is a full gospel when you can rescue them, help them, and get them away from danger, feed them, and help them to find a home, and, you know, virtually set them up somewhere. And another article I finished today, Tower, I was talking about back at 2017, 2015, I was looking back, reflecting what was going on today. And I remembered, within the article, I was talking about how they allowed in so many Muslims and very few Christians. This was under the Obama administration.
Right.
And, you know, the bottom line of it is today, if you look around and pay attention, I mean, even in the UN, you don't see a lot of voices trying to get you to help these persecuted people. Because there's a lot of people that don't care.
That's sad.
It is. Well, we're not like that. We carry these programs and we pray to God people hear and listen and pass the programs on to get other people to listen, because we need people to stand with us as we stand with the believers overseas and the ministries that are helping. And they need your help. And many times, all they want is money to buy Bibles. See, there's money to buy Bibles. There's money to... And there are people out there now in some of the most dangerous areas, and they're translating Bibles right now into their language. This is one of the biggest things. The Word of God and translating into their own language is some of the biggest requests the Christians get over there. And if you get over in North Korea where everything's illegal, the Bible is one of the most hated books over there. But it's also, if you're one of the ones that have a scripture or have the Bible, it is the most guarded secret, and it's like your prize.
You don't even share that with any family member, your children,
nope.
Nobody. Because that's really tragic as well, that you can't share the love of Christ with your family and children.
Because those kids are trained by the North Korean government to hate that.
And to turn the parents in.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening in the world is Antichrist, and this is not going to go anywhere but get worse. But, you know, it's easy to look at this and think that the end of days are, you know, Christ is coming tomorrow. He's not coming tomorrow, folks. And America, with all of her problems, is not going to just be delivered because we're America. We're going to have to fight for this nation. Because if we don't fight for this nation and get it back out of the grips of these radicals that got up there. Now see, they classify the people who stood up there that believed in the Lord, that believed in America, making America great, America first, trying to help. And see, a weak America can't help anybody.
That's right.
And the Christians here can't help anybody if they themselves are oppressed. That's one of the first rules of first responders. The first responders have to take care of themselves first, make sure they're okay. Because if they're not okay, they can't rescue anybody. That's one of the first rules of rescue. And so if you and I, as believers in America, are not going to wake up, and I mean also in a lot of other areas, not just America, you know, if we're not going to pay attention, then what are we even doing here? Are we that selfish as Christians in America that we don't care?
I hope not.
Yeah, me too. So, at any rate, this is just one of these stories, and we've done many of them like this, and Nigeria is one of the worst. The Fulani, I would to God these guys didn't do this, but you have so many traditions here, and you have the tribal mentality. And, of course, you have witchcraft in these tribes, and all kinds of things. So, you got demon and devil worship. It's just terrible. So at any rate, we're moving on here. And Tower's going to complete a story for you.
Yes, this is from Indonesia. It's brought to us by International Christian Concern. And this is part two of Wayan and finding Yeshua. And you remember Wayan. He's a father of five children. He was a Muslim since birth. He was a well-known psychic. His fame attracted clients from near and far, from West Java to other islands. And he lived a comfortable life with his family. He made good money, and they were financially stable. And he lived a quiet and secure life until one day he had a visit by a guest who told him about Yeshua and his need of salvation. And over the course of time, he explained it to him, and Wayan gave his life to the Lord. And this is part two, and it's 4 months later. News about Wayan's conversion spread. The public learned about it because someone shared it on Facebook, claiming that Wayan's family had sold their faith for 6 million rupees, which is the equivalent of $420 in U.S. funds, and received a salary of 2 million rupees, or $140 a month. The neighbors were infuriated upon reading the news, and Wayan and his family faced protests on a large scale. They were beaten, kicked, spat on, evicted. Besides, Wayan was tried at his home by religious leaders, the police, the village head, the FPI, which is the Islamic Defenders Front, a hardline Islamic organization, and the MUI, which is Indonesia's Ulama Council and Indonesia's top Muslim cleric body. He was repeatedly interrogated and threatened, and people told him that if he wanted to be safe, he must return to Islam, and that he would receive capital and other livelihood assistance, but Wayan refused. And as a result, there was an impending expulsion. If Wayan did not leave his village, he would be assaulted by two mass organizations the next day. He heard his house would soon be destroyed and attacked by mobs. Local angry residents already had a fight with him, and Wayan's hand was bleeding. His legs and stomach were also in pain, and that evening Wayan left his home and never returned. All these accusations are baseless. Wayan was never paid for his newfound faith. He was not bribed into Christianity. The truth is, following the Messiah, one has to pay a price. Wayan lost his home, his reputation, and his opportunities. All his relatives and friends were disgusted and hated him. And according to them, Wayan had apostatized and became a devil worshiper. But through it all, Wayan still had peace and joy in his heart. And he realized that life is about carrying out the Great Commission. He believes that God would help those who came to him. And nowadays, Wayan always visits his unbelieving parents, siblings, and children to convey the great mission through discipleship training courses such as Discipleship Making Movement and Discovery Bible Study. Wayan left all the occultism practices behind since he started following Jesus, though it cost him almost everything. Yet God is faithful. As proof of God's goodness, a proof of God's goodness was when ICC stepped in to help Wayan. They provided the house rental for Wayan and his family after they were kicked out of their village. And they provided a way for him to make a living. And they what they're doing now is selling basic food items from their homes. Customers will call and place an order and they'll deliver them the goods. And with this business model, Wayan utilizes the delivery opportunity to build relationships with his customers and share the gospel news. And he told ICC, because of this decision to convert, I face rejection and have to suffer. This is the result of my choice, but I have no regrets. God is really good through my spiritual leaders, and they led me to the truth. And God sent ICC to help us with our housing so we can become independent. I'm very grateful. That's an exciting story.
Well, it is. And that is, again, you know, the full gospel ministry of this, where they took care of him. They provided for him till he got out of on his feet. They provided a way for him to make a living and to carry on. This is what missions is all about. And this is very, very important when you're looking at an organization. And we see this with ICC, persecution.com, Barnabas Aid, I have a list that's just really, 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 really long.
Bibles for the Mideast.
Bibles for the Mideast. I mean, there's a lot of them. And so it's important. And, you know, I had to smile here when you were reading that story because, you know, here they are losing everything. And the guy has peace and joy and love.
Yeah. Only from the Lord.
Only from the Lord.
That's
yeah, you
right.
Lose everything. But there's the Spirit of the living God. And Scripture says, my Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. That's very, very important.
That's right.
That is the proof. And so.
And the world can't understand that because they do not know the Lord.
Yeah, they don't have the Spirit of God. And so this is an amazing thing. When I see that, and every time I think about it, You look at these testimonies that we've done on here, and these people literally face death and hell for their decision. But these people continue on no matter what. Meanwhile, there's so many spoiled Americans. I look at this, and, you know, there are so many lessons Americans need to pay attention to.
Oh, even us. I know I'm pretty spoiled living in America.
You know, but the one thing of it is you know, I mean, I personally don't feel spoiled. You know, I live in a country that's rich, and we have striven in our ministry to make sure it's not about, you know, always the money, as you have many of these preachers, million-dollar evangelists, million-dollar, you know, multi-million-dollar ministries, multi-million-dollar pastors, you know.
Well, the reason I said I feel spoiled is because we don't have much. We live in a very, very small house. We have a roof over our head, and yet we're better off with what we have, which isn't much, than I'd say 75% of the world.
Yes, and I agree with
that. That's what
that.
I mean by being spoiled.
Yeah, and see, we need to clarify that because they don't know that. I mean, we live in an RV that we've had for 16 years. We've been in the RVs for 23 years. We've had two houses in our lifetime. We gave them up to follow the Lord. During the following of the Lord, we lost several entire households of goods. And for us, it's been, you know, we do the websites and everything. We keep the cost down. Everything is geared to getting the word out, to give it, getting the word out. And so, you know, I don't spend time on here begging people for money. I don't do that. But I'll spend time on here telling you, you need to support these ministries. See, we are an advocate, and we get the word out. And through this ministry, we hope to be able to help people to see what's going on and to encourage them to pray for the brothers and to do what they can.
I'm reminded of this comment we got. You told me about it. I don't know too much about it, about this guy mocking the Christians around the world. Poor, poor, persecuted Christians. And I don't know what else he said. But, you know, I pray for that guy that he will get saved and come to know the Lord, that he won't face, because of his mocking, that what he mocked, you know. What I mean, he needs to be saved.
I do know, and that's on one of our social media sites, and that is not surprising.
No.
And see, this is the way it is, you know, poor, you know. And the thing of it is that...
You need to be careful what you're doing and what you're saying and mocking, because
exactly.
That very same thing can happen to you.
That's right. And, you know, I want to get back to a CBN article that actually talks about the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. And we had covered this some time ago, and it was about the schools in America banning the Bible and how Christians were caught up in this. And the ACLJ put out an entire article and tried to get it around, and that's why we covered it. To tell believers how to convince their school and their teachers
and their jobs,
yeah, that it's not the thing to do. You can't do it. It's illegal in America. And they have been changing things when people call them. They contact the school. They tell them, this is the law, and you're going to be in trouble. And every time, they've come up winning. Well, in a recent one, and CBN covered this, a win for religious liberty was reported last week after school officials reversed their decision to ban a student from bringing her Bible to school. The parents of Gabrielle, a second grader in Illinois, contacted the American Center for Law and Justice after their daughter's Bible was taken away during recess. The young girl likes to read her Bible aloud sometimes while other kids listen. A teacher recently told Gabrielle, you can't just be doing that, and then contacted her parents and advised them she was forbidden to bring the Bible back. The parents rebuked the school's restriction and contacted the ACLJ. School officials said it would only allow Gabrielle to read her Bible outside during recess, but not inside. The constraint was still unacceptable to the parents and ACLJ. Interestingly enough, the school verified that no student or parent had complained about Gabriella's reading during recess. The ACLA sent a letter to the school highlighting specific cases throughout history where students were permitted to express their views on religion unless the school believed the measure could materially and substantially disrupt the work and discipline of the school. In Gabriella's case, imposing limits on second graders' right to read the Bible on the playground or inside the school was unjustified since it wasn't causing a disruption. And so that is why they changed. See, and in this case, all it took was a little explanation from the American Center of Law and Justice. And they said, if you have these kind of issues, you go to their website, you do some search on their website, and you can contact them. They have an entire article on there on how to fight this, how to talk to your school board, your school officials about these issues. And see, this is what you need to do. If you're not going to stand up with your kids right now, then this place could become just like a Pakistan, just like a North Korea or a China. You got to fight for your rights.
And your children.
Yeah, and your children. And, you know, I put up a quote of Ronald Reagan some time ago. And I'm trying to think, you know, there is so many of these things that just amaze me when I look at all of that. How some of these leaders we've had get to the point. And
was it Ronald Reagan, I believe with all my heart, that Standing Up for America? Was that the one?
Well, the one I'm looking at now is freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, President Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, that's right.
And see, that goes with your faith in America. If you're not willing to stand up and step up and grab your rights, tell people when it's wrong, you're going to lose. And by some of these Soros-appointed or supported politicians that got elected this time, you can see them in the various areas where we've had trouble. That's where BLM and Antifa, you know, rioted and tore up the country. Many of them got away with it. If we don't stand up to this stuff, if we don't stand up to the Biden administration and their stupid rules, and see, they're finding out, though, from the legal aspects of it, they can't do the things they're doing. But see, we can't help anybody around the world if we're in prison camps. You got that? If they round up all the Christians, it ain't going to make any difference how bad you feel about these people overseas or the ministries, because there won't be anybody left. Nobody will care. It's up to us to stand up for the persecuted church. It's up to us to stand against the stuff that's trying to destroy this country. Now, we're not perfect, but I can tell you this. The one nation on earth that put out more Bibles, that had more churches, and more missionaries go out, that if it wasn't for America getting into World War II, the UK and Europe would have lost the war against Hitler. If it wasn't for us helping rebuild Europe and Japan, they would have never been rebuilt. Now, make no mistake about it. It's time for Americans and Christians to stand up and wake up and not allow this nonsense to go on. Don't allow your governor, don't allow your mayors to do these things. They may be elected officials, but as there's a God in heaven, we're the ones who are the bosses. And we do this because we want to be able to stay viable so we can help these. It doesn't do any good. Again, if you're defeated and in a prison camp and you have no way of helping those who are going through hell in these other countries. And they do go through hell in these other countries. And we got one here out of India. A 52-year-old guy was shot in the head. And he was shot in the head by radical Hindu nationalists. Now, as we look right now, India is going through one of the worst COVID attacks that they've ever seen. And we've had reports directly from the field. We've had reports on this from people we know that we, over the years, became associated with, who tell us the same thing. Pastors are dying. Congregations are getting sick. Many are dying. And it's leaving the church in some areas of India absolutely leaderless. You see, there was a mob of 15 radical Hindus. And of course, when they go out, they carry swords and sickles and a gun. And they attacked a pastor at his home. And they attacked the family. And they pointed the gun at the pastor and attempted to shoot him, but the gun failed to fire. And then they pointed the gun at his father and shot, and the 52-year-old father dropped dead. And then they hit the pastor, and he was knocked unconscious. But he says, I believe God has a definite purpose in keeping me alive. He said that from his hospital bed. I'll carry on the ministry God has given me. We gave up so much already for the sake of our faith. They took away our agricultural land. They destroyed our house. Now they want our lives. I'm worried about my family and children, but about what will happen to them when I am not around. That is a tough choice.
It is. That's awful.
He says, I am sure I cannot attend my father's funeral now that I am almost on a deathbed, he said. But I thank God for his mercies during this difficult situation.
Amen.
And if you can't...
Tragic.
...can't feel empathy and pray for this guy, then you're dead. That's all there is to it. And... You know, these are the things. That story came out of International Christian Concern. It just amazes me.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. So we do have another one. Are you ready for that one?
Yes, this is about... Okay, go ahead. This is, comes to us from CBN. And it's a Kenyan finding Christ. And this story is about Seth. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. He served as secretary for Atheists in Kenya, the AIK, for less than 2 years. And he shares a story, and he said, I'd been going through some difficulties in life, and I decided to resign as a secretary, so I'm so happy to be here. AIK President Harrison thanked Seth for his service and wished him well in his future endeavors. And Seth's reason for resigning is that he has found Jesus Christ and is no longer interested in promoting atheism in Kenya. We wish Seth all the best in his newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the president of AIK said. And among AIK's objectives are the promotion of practice of open, rational, and scientific explanation of the universe and our place in it, and to advocate that ethics and morality be meaningfully based on rational and humanistic ideas and values. And the society believes that human beings are capable of being ethical and moral without religion or God. And the news of Seth stepping down from his role with the AIK garnered praise on social media. And one lady wrote, "It is the power of God stronger than anything else in the whole universe." Another tweeted, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen." And another lady congratulated Seth on his decision, adding, "All glory to God in the highest." That's right. And, you know, this is tragic. I hope that Harrison, the president of AIK, comes to know the Lord because of Seth's conversion.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, this is typical humanism.
Mm-hmm.
And and the president is right. You know, humans are capable of ethics and morality, but more often than not, you're always going to find a murderer, somebody doing something. But see, no matter how good you are, you're not good enough to get into heaven. If you just want to live on the earth and be an atheist, and when you die, you go wherever. I mean, if that's okay with you, you know, then stay the way you are. But see, the God of the universe is not out to redeem you to keep you in this lawless, sinful world. It's fallen. The fallen nature. The curse has devoured the earth. And when he redeems people, he regenerates their spirit, cleans them up, and puts his spirit within them. They don't think the same. Their desires are not the same. Old things are passed away, and all things become new. A new creation in Christ because of what Christ did on the cross.
Amen. Thank God.
And this thing just makes me chuckle when I seen it. When I read it, you know, he'd been going through some things that were really bad. He decided to resign. And he was happy to be there where he was at. Because he gave his life to Christ. Because someone was talking to him. And, you know, they did wish him well, which was good.
Yes.
And, you know, the way he talked, you can see that it is open, rational, and scientific, which does not understand the supernatural aspects of being born again. Seth didn't do this on his own. He just believed and he received. And, you know, it just gets me how you have this guy. All of a sudden, he just 180 degrees. He just goes in the other direction. Just absolutely, you know, we've seen these testimonies so often. And we know this, folks, because Tower and I, you know, we've experienced the power of God. We still do. And the thing of it is, you're not by yourself. For over two decades, we've been spreading the word. And we want to continue going with every breath we have. But we ask you tonight to pray for these that we've covered. Pray for the persecuted church around the world. And if you have enough, give money regularly to ministries with boots on the ground that can help those believers overseas. So I just love this.
I do too. I'm glad. You have to know that somebody was talking to him about the Lord. And when you go through difficulties in life, that's when the Lord steps in and you either accept him or reject him. If you reject him, your difficulties are going to continue on.
Well, I find it amazing. Every time I read this and like when you see the pastors who suffered so much, you know, on your own, you're not going to be able to go through that. Intense suffering, death, losing loved ones. But see, the thing of it is, there's one thing that we see around the world where Christians suffer. The people who kill Christians and attack them and persecute them are afraid of them. And this is the issue. They're either afraid of them, fearful of them, or they're jealous. And in India, many of the Christians have the worst jobs in India. Yet these poor people, these poor Christians, do these menial tasks, stay happy, love the Lord. It just amazes me. And how around the world, it's the same thing in every nation. A lot of the believers, the communists, it's easy. They're afraid of Christianity. Xi in China is afraid. One of the main reasons that he's persecuting the church is because not too long ago, we report on it, probably five or more years ago, it was reported that there were more Christians in China than there were communists.
Yeah, that's funny.
It is. Yeah. There were 10 major persecutions of Christians during the Roman Empire before it fell. But see, guess what? In the latter part of it, Christianity became the faith of the entire realm. But there's no doubt that the church, the blood of the martyrs, and the blood of Christ set the example, and the blood of the martyrs, that waters, the church, the believers. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. So today we covered Pakistan and the Christian villagers terrorized. We covered the Nigerian Fulani and how they target Christians. Tara read a story on Wayan and Yeshua and how he came to him, and that is a wonderful story, Tower.
Just oh, it is.
And America, do not let them steal your rights. We talked about that. And in India, the Hindu militants who killed the pastor's dad. And Kenya, the young man that found Christ. It just gets me. You know, here he is. You know, we believe in rational, you know, atheism. As if there's such a thing as rational atheism. Because when you say you're an atheist, you don't believe God. I always tell people, don't worry, you will believe.
It's true.
There's no such thing as an atheist in hell. I guarantee you that. They know there's a God. It's too late.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And that's why the Lord told us to go and spread the word. He died for people so that they may live, not go to hell. He died for them and redeemed them, not so that they would face judgment, but that they would be redeemed from judgment and the second death.
Just like you always say, there's no excuse for someone going to hell with the sacrifice that Christ made for all of us.
It's already there. That's the bottom line. So, Tower, with that, we're going to have to get out of here in a moment or two.
Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us whenever you do. We love you. We pray for you. And we hope the best for you in Christ Jesus. Remember to pray for your brethren around the world. And pray for us as we pray for you. We love you. And please be safe. And be careful. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by warn-usa.com. Read the articles, listen to the shows. Go to danaglennsmith.com. Check out the articles over there. You can also listen to the shows on there. We've got an embedded player over there. And we also have our new Christian bookstore and merchandise shop. Check that out at danaglennsmith.com/shop. My new book, we're working on that. We were talking with the guy that's doing the cover. We were talking about what we might want on it. We are working on many aspects of it. We've been kind of slowed up because of COVID and a number of other things. But pray for us. And as Tower said, we continue. We pray for everybody every night. And we've won this one, folks. They just don't know it yet. But before Christ comes, we want to get redeemed as many people as we can. That's our goal. So look to the Lord. Be safe. Shalom, everybody. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.